This episode of the Disc Golf Podcast is brought to you by OTBDiscs.com. Only the Best Discs has a huge selection with high-quality pictures of each disc, actual disc weights, flatness, and stiffness listed. Did I mention fast shipping? Get it free on your next order at OTBDiscs.com using promo code DGPODCAST. What's up, disc golfers? Welcome to episode 265 of the Disc Golf Podcast. My name is Robin, and alongside me, my longtime friend, avid disc golfer, Joe.
So, if you had a baby, and said baby... Oh, never mind. Let's not.
Wait, what?
Let's stay out of that. Hey, what's up?
Nada.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
It's been a long week. It's been a long few weeks.
Yeah, it has. And you know what? I gotta say, like, we had Champions Cup, and, like, all of a sudden Jonesboro's up on you, and, like, I feel like, disc golf is there's never too much disc golf, but I feel like they could have at least, like, spaced these things out a little bit rather than, like, immediately.
No, and then this DDO is what we want. Now, this is what it used to be, and I think we just got used to, like...
I know, but I still think, like, you come off of a major like that, you know, the first major of the year, and to just go get right back into another Elite Series and just get after it like that. Maybe I'm just being a crab.
You're just a crabby old man, because this is how, when we started this podcast, we were pumped that every week we could get on the mic and be like, oh, there's another great tournament going
but
on.
But I'm old and I'm yelling at clouds, okay?
Right. Well, the thing is, when we started this podcast, there were two kids?
Yes.
There were two kids, and they were small, and it was easy to do things and watch disc golf. And
now you've had two kids, and I've had three kids, and there's five. And it's like, it's crazy. It's just...
Nope. I mean, there's five. There's definitely five.
Sorry, I'd lose count on
this. Yeah, there's five, but the amount of time... Jobs have gotten more intense. Yours is, for the most part, quite similar. You were very busy then. Mine's gotten much more busy and very different than when we started this podcast. So just like the amount of time... that we used to love, being like, oh, look at all this extra time we have. I'm going to watch so much disc golf. And now it's like, I need to watch this because I got to talk about it. Shit, how am I going to find time to watch these things? Like, the coverage is better. Everything's better, but we're still grumpy old men that are like, this feels like a job right now. I got to watch disc golf. Damn it.
Joe in a Zoom meeting with Joe Mez on down below. Just
God, I wish 100% I could tell you I've never done that. I have two screens. I have a second monitor at work. Like, I for sure have been like, I got to get in some of this. Like,
and they're like, Joe, what do you think? And you're like, well, I would have run that. I mean,
no, but I'm on. I will always, if I'm doing that, and rarely, if ever. Well, I just said it happens. So rarely, when that happens, I definitely turn my camera off, because I don't want them to see me like looking to the right, because obviously I'm not, engaging. But I only do it when it's like, I sit on tons of committees and stuff where it's just like, they don't need my input. No one really cares, and I don't really have input. I'm just here, and optically people need to know I'm here, and we're fine. So let me put this other screen up and catch up on things.
sounds like you do a lot there.
I do a lot, but sometimes part of what I do has to do with optically being present.
Well, and you probably wouldn't want people to see you shirtless in your laser photo retina chamber booth that helps heal your shoulder.
Oh, God.
Right? Because, you obviously are a busy man, and you need to schedule those things in times that make sense for you. And obviously, a Zoom meeting would be a good choice for photo regeneration.
Well, as everyone knows, except for the orthopedic surgeon I spoke with, labrums can be fixed without surgery.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
And by everyone, I mean not surgeons and doctors.
What about weird booths full of LEDs? Does that also fix them? Because
is that like a rave thing?
I could be. I mean, Eagle looks like the kind of guy.
No,
that...
Eagle loves like trance music and stuff. Now that I'm thinking about it,
yeah. I mean, he surely is listening to something along those lines. While in that sensory deprivation tank or whatever the fuck.
No, it's not that. Sensory deprivation is like.
No, I know. I'm just bringing to light. Okay, so it's photobiomodulation. Do you know what photobiomodulation is, Joe?
It sounds like either pictures or lights on your body or parts of your body in various, brightnesses and shapes and
You're not far off.
Colors.
Photobiomodulation, PBM, of course.
Oh, yeah.
As
PBM.
As we say. Yeah. Describes the use of red or near-infrared light to stimulate, heal, regenerate, and protect tissue that has either been injured or is degenerating or is at risk of dying. Light.
I mean, hearing that, I'm like, oh, so you throw lights on like a cut you have and that will help. And sure, maybe I mean, it won't, but maybe it will. But when I hear flesh, I don't think... hardcore muscle structures that are attached to bone, like, I don't think that would do that. Like, flesh makes sense because that's like at least the light hits where that injury is.
I couldn't be more skeptical of this in any other way. I mean, you guys have heard me on this podcast before, but the odds that low levels of infrared light are going to heal your fucked up shoulder that you spent all off season trying to rehab and hasn't healed is to me terrifying. And I just don't know. I think it's time for Eagle to have surgery and come back next year and have a good year.
100%.
But man,
I feel like Eagle, just get it all done. Go get Tommy John too.
And here's why. And like, I'm not trying to like poop on all the different like fad things that go out there. But
by the way, shout outs to Simon for actually like going to doctors and physical therapists
for
and
sure.
Getting remedied and working it out and like doing things
like you
like
look
that.
You look at professional football players, professional baseball players. They don't when they have an injury to their shoulder. You don't see this. You see them either attempt rehab, and if that fails, they go have surgery. Like what happened to Jimmy Garoppolo in the offseason.
Yeah.
Like he attempted rehab on his shoulder. It didn't work. He had surgery. And
the craziest thing you'll see is them being like, hey, also shoot some stem cells in there too, and let's see what's up.
There is more money at risk in a single one of those NFL players than all of these disc golfers combined.
Yep.
So
yep.
Look at the money. What is actually going to work? Like, there's no way that this stuff, I blows my mind. So I really hope Eagle, and we've talked about this in past episodes, you know, worrying about it because it was a thing earlier about his injury. But I really, really, really hope that Eagle can get back on and get healthy. And I just don't want to see a situation where he drags it out over 3 years because he doesn't want to just bite the bullet and have an operation to fix his shoulder.
Right. Or just has to totally adapt everything he does that doesn't make him a better player, makes him more like, I'll tell you, with my labrum for a while, I was like, oh, we're fine. And I played once again, nothing close to professional level of anything, but just in my day-to-day life, like playing football with kids, I got really good at throwing footballs like underhand, like softball style, because I still wanted to play football, but I didn't want to go to a doctor and get my shit fixed. And I'm never going to get the surgery because I'm not a professional athlete. But guess what? Eagle is.
He should. He should.
I
shouldn't say that because I don't know what he's actually going through.
But has a torn labrum, he needs to get surgery. Yeah. I will say it. I will say that out loud.
If you're going to throw, yes, yeah.
If he has a torn labrum,
which is what he speculated that he has,
right? But if it's not diagnosed, that's different. If he has a diagnosed torn labrum, go get surgery.
Yeah, exactly. And come back next year and be a beast.
I will say my shoulder does not hurt when I throw backhand. It usually doesn't hurt when I throw forehand, but I can't throw power forehand. And when I try to do a big, hard, slight ante, I feel it. It hurts a lot. And I do think the more time that's gone on that my mobility has struggled from it too, because just getting a disc flat in my hand for a forehand is as far as I can.
You know what you should
comfortably
try?
Go.
And I'm being serious.
No, you're fine.
I'm being really serious. Get some sage, rub it on your nipples
your
right before.
You piece of shit. I was like, what does Robin know that I don't? What is happening here? I honestly was bought in. I was like, I feel like we've talked through this a lot and you probably would say something sooner, but I trust and love my best friend Robin, and he goes,
sage, get some salvia officinalis, just grind it up.
No, Robin, that is bullshit, because you need the essential oil because it's concentrated.
That's what I mean.
And you get there deeper.
You got to grind it up and press it first, and then just rub it all over both sides. You got to get just not the affected side, obviously.
No, for balance. The opposite, because it'll...
For balance, you have to get both nipples, and that's going to cure it all.
And your belly button, too, just in case.
Yeah, anyway, we got a great show for you guys tonight. We are going to recap the Jonesboro, the Kevin Jonesboro, almost Kevin Jonesboro, and then we'll talk a little bit about DDO, and then we'll do our world famous deer review, our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both, and let you know whether you should bring it on the course. Tonight we have the Dynamic Discs Agent, a 2-speed, 3-glide, 0 turn, 1-fade putter. This was sent to us by Travis Rabin. Awesome listener. Thank you so much, Travis. And we also are going to pair it with Noda Hop Drop Imperial IPA, a 9.2%.
I think maybe Imperial Hop Drop. I'm assuming maybe there's a Hop Drop and then there's an Imperial Hop Drop.
Okay.
I don't know.
Just sorry. Looking at Imperial Hop Drop IPA. Thank you, Joe, for that very important distinction.
You're welcome.
In the middle of my run through.
You're welcome.
A 9.2%. Imperial IPA, sent to us by Kurt Story. And so we have another fully listener-sponsored deer review here. Good times. I'm looking forward to it. And the agent's an interesting disc, too. So
is it, though?
Yeah, it's a putter. So it's all putters.
Okay.
All putters are interesting, Joe. I don't know what you're trying to say here, but I don't like it.
All putters matter.
I don't like your tone. I think, you know what? You need to put some time between your toes. Just grind it up.
Oh, fuck. I still was like, is that a saying? I went with T-I-M-E, and I was like, as soon as I can, I was like, is that a saying that I don't know? Is there a meme that I've never heard about?
You know what?
Time between
your toes? You're not wearing your crystal necklace. Come on, Joe.
Nor will I ever.
We are a team here.
And I
can't have
ever.
You off your A game because you can't wear your rose crystal necklace. That's not okay.
Or what's the your kids all had the whatever they were.
Yeah. Well, we've moved past
and you're,
that.
Well, are you though? Is Jade gonna have one of them?
No.
I'm gonna laugh so hard the next time I come over and she has that on.
We've come a long way.
Good.
My wife doesn't have
my wife
doesn't have Instagram anymore. That helps.
Oh, I'm sure that does. Yeah, gosh. Do you want to make millions from your home? That's what I do. Sell these crystals and get 15 friends to also sell these crystals. You can do it too.
And when those 15 friends find 15 more friends,
right?
You get all the crystals. So many crystals.
And it forms a triangle. You mean a pyramid in a triangle?
It's a triangle.
It's a triangle of power.
A pyramid is a 3-dimensional shape.
Yep. It's a power triangle. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
All right, Joe. So
yeah, what are we talking about?
Jonesboro.
Yeah.
Jonesboro, always fun. We kind of know what to expect from Jonesboro each year. And
yeah, they moved some stuff back that like they made it tougher.
And you know, honestly, this on the MPO side, I guess we'll start there because the MPO side was pretty thrilling, start to finish. But you tell me if you want to go FPO first. We can do that too.
No, you can start there. I mean, FPO is like wire to wire boring. No one cares. No, I'm just joking. Everyone cares. That was just a joke. I'm sorry. But yeah, no. MPO had more drama, I feel like, than FPO.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know where to start here, but I think I'll start with Kevin Jones.
Yeah.
Because Kevin Jones has been kind of the guy that's underperforming this year. You know, like that you're talking about, and we're just kind of everybody's waiting for Kevin Jones to do something, more or less, in these tournaments. And you know, he showed up and he was playing well and he was in contention late. He had a 2-stroke lead at one point, late, like with 4 holes to go, I want to say. And just couldn't quite close it out. But really, I'm not sure it's totally his fault. I mean, part of how he got there, he had like 100 and something odd foot blind throw in that you know, helped propel him to those leads. And then Calvin Heimberg just robot mode, and then Paul McBeth, and we ended up going into hole 18 with a 3-way tie. And it just, Kevin Jones just ran out of magic. But it was still
magical though. Like close. It was great to see him thrown. It's
but he ended up just parring the last 4 holes. And he had been pushing and making a ton of shots and making putts, and it was looking, but it just all of a sudden it just wasn't there anymore. It just didn't carry through. And Calvin and Paul up their game, and Calvin had a huge eagle to tie it up on, like, I don't know, I want to say 16 or 17.
Mm-hmm.
That was just incredible. And you know, Paul McBeth was making huge putts and made an incredible 16. Upshot
yep.
on 16 out of the woods across the water from a knee, a forehand, just like,
it was gross,
absolutely,
it was super
bananas.
Gross.
Just absolutely bananas. And to get end up getting the eagle from a position where people were, like, the commentators at that point were worried that he would even be able to get up and down for par. Like, they were thinking, can he even? I think it was Nate Perkins, I want to say, that was nearby, that was saying, I'm not sure he can
yeah.
even
yep.
he can
it
even
was.
Pitch out of
it was.
The bush
yep.
From here. And then all of a sudden he just wings a forehand across and makes a huge putt, a circle 2 putt to can the eagle. And Calvin had done it in a much cleaner fashion.
also,
I believe a circle 2 putt, but he had done it in the more traditional stay in the fairway kind of mm-hmm. way. And Kevin Jones, you know, just kind of, I guess he didn't par less 4 holes. It's less 3 holes. He got a birdie on 15. But Calvin's shot, did you see Calvin's shot on 18?
Yeah.
And just, I mean, 470
oh, yeah.
foot laser beam, more or less. I mean, it wiggled a little bit off its line, but oh my goodness, was that a dirty,
oh, he's
dirty,
gross.
Dirty shot.
Yeah, anyways, to got forced to a playoff and only went 1 hole, unfortunately.
Paul's shot on that hole 1 of the playoff was just bad.
Just a shank. Just
yeah.
a shank.
And he blamed the tee pad. And I go both ways on this because...
Well, you normally go both ways, but on this also.
Yeah, of course. I mean, listen, never one to kink shame. I'm open to anything. I'll try anything once. So.
Or 5 times.
Yeah, sure. I mean, well, if you... Yeah.
If you likes it, gets it. Anyway, go ahead.
People keep telling you it's fun, so, you know, they got to know something.
Shit's fun. Yeah, go ahead.
But, so I see both sides here. Paul, who has, in my opinion, kind of like a history of making light of why he didn't play well,
right,
is been a common thing for him. And whether it's a tournament related thing or an injury related thing, he's been very vocal. He doesn't pull punches on that sort of stuff. And I don't think he's making excuses because he's so freaking good.
He is. And even though he did still say, like, Calvin had a great throw. He killed it.
No, he wasn't taken away from Calvin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think he was more frustrated that basically he was saying that the tee pad moved. And you can see it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a turf tee pad. And I agree with him. I think turf tee pads suck.
Yep.
I think they're the worst. They're not the worst. The worst would be rubber.
Rubber on not compacted ground.
Yeah.
That over time becomes awful and bumpy and slippery.
Agreed.
And trash.
Yeah.
I've heard of them. I don't know if I've ever seen tee pads.
The fake grass tee pads, like, if they're even a little wet, they're like a slippery freaking mess. I don't know how.
Well, they also need to be.
And the blades need to be oriented
down too,
in the right,
like,
way.
The whole thing slipped out too. The entire.
Yeah, you can,
like,
see the whole thing move. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that's probably Heimberg's fault. But, you know, he probably loosened it up earlier in the round.
Yeah.
Given how much force
with
that
his
guy
footwork, yeah,
with he, his that guy puts down on stuff. His plant foot, but
yeah, totally. So we kind of went through that. I think another player, who's probably close to that world when you talk about Kevin Jones of underperforming, this player has a lot more excuses than Kevin Jones does.
Yeah.
Quesadillas are one excuse. Babies are a better one.
Uh-huh.
Really great to see Simon throw a killer second round and a quality third round to end up back like where you expect Simon. I will be totally honest with the first couple tournaments of Simon this year. I've just been like, hey, we've all been there, baby brain. Like, it's just not happening.
For
like,
sure.
He's tired. He's not sleeping. Like, it's not going to happen. We all love Simon. He's going to be fine, but it's just not going to be.
Yeah,
he's not going to be performing at a top 10 world this year.
No.
And he said, shut the fuck up, Joe, and threw an amazing second round, a great third round after a not good first round to get himself up there. And rumor has it he's doing okay in the tournament that's going on right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, back to Calvin, his drives on the last two holes are what won him this tournament. He had on 18, he had the farthest drive by 100 feet and scared the bejesus out of the cameraman and was able to get up and down for his birdie. And then on hole one, just absolutely parked the shit out of it. And at the beginning of the round, he had shanked that shot. Like, somehow shanked that shot and then comes around in the playoff and could not throw a more perfect shot unless it went in. Like,
and he was just on it. And I think that's part of the Kevin Jones too, is like, when you're around folks that are just like firing on all cylinders, if you're not right there with them, it's hard.
Yeah.
It makes it extra hard to keep pushing. And that's what happened. And congrats to Calvin. A win. This is his first win of the season?
I believe so, yes.
Which is crazy because he's been in contention so many times for the win.
Oh, yeah. He's always
been there.
Well, I mean, it's similar thing, you know. Calvin is almost always in contention.
Oh, yeah.
But he hasn't had a ton of massive wins. He's had some great wins and elite series wins and whatnot. But, you know, he is so much fun to watch. When he is putting like he was, because he was killing it.
Yes,
like,
he was.
Those putts just look like he's just dropping in a three-footer every time. He just has that,
he
like,
has
lob.
Effortless power with his putt.
And it just stays and floats in the air, and you're like, damn, that is killer. It's so much fun to watch. So.
For sure.
And, you know,
Paul's okay at disc golf. Like, yeah. He's all right. He's and still washed up. He should have won.
We said it last time. Remember last episode?
No, we did.
We're like, this is the kiss of death, man. Paul Macbeth is going to rage now.
I did. And I texted Robin during this tournament being like, oh, we done fucked up. We set him up.
We should have picked him.
He listened to the podcast. He knows that we didn't pick him.
Yep.
And he's punishing us.
Hey, Paul Macbeth, we didn't pick you this week either. Just so you know.
Yep. Hey, Calvin, we didn't pick you either. And it's not
because we're lazy and didn't
record. Hey, Rick, we didn't pick you either. Hey, everyone playing right now, we didn't pick you.
Because we didn't do picks before the tournament started.
Nope, because I woke up this morning, I was like, oh, I need to do picks, and tournament already started.
Yeah, I mean, and nobody believes you anyway, so it doesn't matter. Unless we release the show before the tournament starts, picks are stupid. So, yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah, but at least we can, like...
Like, oh, I totally picked so-and-so. Yeah.
But even like even if we did picks right now after one day, it doesn't mean anything.
No.
Unless it's Tatar at Jonesboro.
Yeah.
Which brings us to FPO.
Which brings us to FPO. Kristen Tatar is a beast.
Yeah, she's good at disc golf. Who knew?
I did pick this one. I did in my picks. Joe, overall, his players were better as a whole.
I do think I chose Paige.
You did.
I did pick Tatar, but not for the
win.
Not
to win. And I was like... Tatar is going on the "you made my daughter hold a quiet sign" revenge tour.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have my Elaine King vengeance tour now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think I picked Kat too. And I'm a little concerned about Kat.
Yeah.
I think she's kind of trailing off. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if everyone's just getting up to form, and I don't know.
You know, that DGA plastic, once it beats in a little bit, it's just it's a different story.
Right.
So.
Hey, Tyler, can you get brand new everything for Kat?
You know, she was originally working with that brand new fresh DGA, and that was working well, and now...
And now it's just DGA.
Yeah, it's DGA. Eh.
Tyler, let's get that together.
It's like the Canadian version of, of DGA.
We do need to get a Vortex, though.
DGA?
DGA. she'll figure it out. But, yeah, she had a rough go overall. Kristen Tatar killed it, of course.
Yeah, I mean, FPO was significantly less interesting than MPO because Tatar really just kind of dominated most of the tournament. I mean, it was not in question late, and she was pretty dominant the entire time. So
no, totally. Yeah.
I mean, she won by 10 strokes.
Fully dominant.
We didn't do the
we didn't, we'll go back to that. We'll talk this and then we'll do the top 10.
Okay.
I thought it was the same thing. I will say, Valerie Manduano has continued to be, the best DD, player
that has continued, correct?
You
know what, maybe Ricky should try the photo biomodulation. I'm sure he has.
I'm sure. How do you think Eagle
do
you think his nutritionist told Eagle about it?
Assuredly. Do you think they have sensory deprivation tanks that also have photo biomodulation lights in them?
No, because that goes against the entire point.
What if you wear eye covering so you can't see the light?
Oh, God.
But you're still floating in the...
I hate all this. Can we get back? We're talking like actual things here.
I'm sorry. I'm just,
Two FBO players. One piqued my interest last year. Ella Hansen did really well.
Yeah.
And... slowly becoming just like one of my favorites, just watching her on coverage and then hearing stories and then little bits of Instagram. Kat Merch is...
yeah, she's a lot of fun.
Super fun.
Although I'm her carpentry skills...
she's not a carpenter, though.
She's
a disc golfer. So, no, not at all.
I don't approve.
Not at all. When I see carpentry things that I'm like, I can do a better job, that's real bad.
Yeah.
That's
agreed.
Real bad.
And when I agree with that yep. I also think that you could have done a better job, that's...
I 100% could do a better job than that.
Yeah. That was...
In less time,
yes.
Yeah. Anyway, she's super fun, and I'm excited to see her do more. I'm going to go to top 10s because now I'm like looking at it and I want to like say things about folks going through top 10s. So I'll start with MPO. Unless you have anything else on either side.
No, I'm good. You can get out.
So Heimberg and Paul both finished at minus 26. Calvin won the playoff to finish first. Minus 25, Kevin Jones. Dickerson, who I chose to win, in fourth, minus 23. Gannon Burr, who's just going to be a problem in a great way, at minus 22. Alden Harris, putting together a really quality season. I think he is on the rise at minus 20. Tied with Joel Freeman, Matty O, Simon, all at minus 20, tied for sixth. And then a three-way tie for 10th with Thomas Gilbert, Ezra Aderhold, and Ricky Wysocki. Is Ricky washed up now?
No, not at all.
I'm just
Ricky's
saying.
Got some tournaments coming.
All right.
That man gonna win.
FPO, Chris Tatar, minus 24 in first. 10 spots behind Missy Gannon. Good to see Missy Gannon up towards the top again. I mean, I think she won some early this year, but she's great. Cat Merch, Ella Hansen, tied for third with minus 12. Another shout out, Holland Hanley. We brought her up last year because she won a tournament, I want to say, in Arizona after only playing for like 6 months. Now tied Katrina Allen for fifth place. She is, I believe she is DD sponsored now. Good for them. Maybe the second best DD. No, I'm playing. Anyways, tied minus 11.
So much Kona Panis shade.
What? Oh, I wasn't talking about Kona Panis. I was talking about Holland Hanley.
Oh, I know. But you know, you're clearly referring to.
Wait, did she sign like a very lucrative contract with Dynamic Disc?
She did.
Their premier FPO player?
That is correct. That did happen.
Oh. I mean, but Valerie Manduano did too, right?
No, she did not.
Oh.
But she certainly should use that as precedent for her deal next year.
Oh, I'm sure she will. I'm sure she will. Anyways, she's tied with Paige Pierce at minus 9 in 7th place. Lisa Fakis at minus 8 in 9th, and then a tie with Valerie's sister, Alexis Manduano, and Haley King at 5 down in 10th place. And I believe Haley King, I'm just waiting for. I think she has been putting together hot rounds here and there, but not putting them all together.
I think the biggest thing here for me is just the scorched earth Kristen Tatar winning by 10 strokes and the absolute drop off from that point, like just by far and away. And we've seen this in the past in FPO where either Paige or Kat was winning regularly by, you know, a grip of strokes, but it's been relatively close in most tournaments lately. And this was one that I think just Kristen Tatar has played so well. She hasn't missed a podium and is just like, I genuinely believe that she is the best FPO player right now. I
agree.
I've seen it enough times, even when she loses as in second or third place.
Mm-hmm.
She is close to winning.
Right.
It's not right. Like
totally.
Like in this case, Missy Gannon in second place.
It's either she has a rough spot or someone else has an amazing section that gets that way. So I have a question.
And she was one poor decision in the previous week. And I would argue that like I'm you know, semi in jest talking about like her being mad about the kid situation. I don't think that's the reason. I think she's mad that she didn't win the previous week, and that's why she went scorched earth in this one. Like I don't think that her daughter having to, you know,
no, it's because she wants
caddy,
to win.
It's because she four-putted on the previous hole and she knew she could have won and she was one bad throw away from doing it and it she couldn't close it. And that was she pure focus, such a good player, such a good putter. She has everything in her game and she just absolutely dominated the field.
Yeah.
And right. It's fun to watch.
So I have one question about an FPO player. We talked about this a long time ago Like, it came up a lot more with MPO players switching brands.
Mm-hmm.
And for a moment, like, Rick was one of them. We're like, well, it's going to take a minute for them to understand the disc and know what's going on. And there's an abundance of discs now, and that's kind of taking that piece away. But do you think Haley King going to Innova, who we point out all the time that discs need to be beat up more, in my mind, with Innova than any other brand? Like, you want a seasoned X, Y, or Z disc because that's the best flying. That's what it needs to be. Do you think there's more curve, especially? And it's not at all a knock on FPO or women or whatever, but the arm speed is definitely different with FPO versus MPO and throwing those discs. Do you think there's more of a learning curve for her moving to Innova and understanding those discs?
Absolutely
or beating
not.
Them in?
Absolutely not. I think that Haley King just needs to learn how to win.
Win, yeah.
I think that she's got all the talent in the world, and she needs to learn how to put it all together on a consistent basis.
Right, because she's a woman, and she needs to, like, figure Whoa. Out how to... No?
Wow.
I thought this was your saying.
Holy
Not
moly.
At all. That was a total joke. People know I would never be the
do
one
they?
To do that direction.
I don't know.
Of
that
course
was,
they do.
That was a little...
Fun?
No, that was not fun. That was very uncomfortable. That was...
If you want to hear uncomfortable, go to the pre-show.
I would just like to say that the Disc Golf Podcast believes firmly that women are fucking awesome.
Of course.
And despite what Joe just said, are capable of...
You know, let's just stop this.
Immense athletic
just
feats
stop this. You'll
and mental
hear,
fortitude.
You'll hear the message.
Despite
attracting bears.
Son of a bitch. Oh my God.
Sorry, I just got a little Anchorman there. No, that's a total joke. No, I just... If I went to an Innova bag, it would wreck my game. If I went to, like, a fresh Innova bag,
I mean, you just
from not throwing
you,
it.
You've just spent, like, weeks throwing a random bag of mixed discs and did fine.
100%. But I'm saying,
but I just,
Innova discs have always, for me, historically been way more overstable and not to the numbers fresh than any other manufacturer.
Yeah. But Haley King's been around Innova in the past, and, like, Innova pros give you. Like, other pros
yeah,
be like,
yeah.
Oh, hey, I've got to beat in X. I've got to beat in this. I got to. And,
totally.
Like, you go on sub. You can find beat in plastic. That's
yeah.
not hard
no,
to do.
No, I just.
So, sure like, if that's your problem, that the new discs are too overstable and you can't handle it, that's your fault for not going and looking for
Truth.
Something that is beat in that you can deal with. Like, there are people dying to give
to
you.
To give you, totally.
Like,
no, that's a good call. That's a good call.
Thousands.
And we're so far ahead of even 5 years ago. That's not the world.
Yeah,
that's
so no,
not how it was.
I think Haley King is just growing as a pro player.
Yeah.
And you know, she needs this experience. She needs to take her lumps and has all the talent in the world. Yeah.
Right, and I guess that actually disproves any thought I even had that she has super hot rounds and then trails off. The ability's all there. It's just the consistency, and that has nothing to do with the discs.
Yeah, so are you going to issue, like, a real apology for your, like, crazy chauvinistic, you know,
I
comments?
Love
or?
All women
okay.
and men.
Oh.
And all non-binary folks.
Okay.
And... all sexual preferences, even all of the ones that Robin has. I love you all. And I appreciate you, and I want to be your friends.
Very, very nice. Very eloquent. Nicely put. Anything else you want to cover, like animals or anything like that in this? Like, are there any other broad statements about
it? I mean, most animals are pretty rad.
Uh-huh.
Geese pretty much suck.
Okay.
Fucking shit birds.
Mm-hmm.
Don't really care for them, but I don't want them dead. I just don't care about them.
Okay.
And horses. Fuck horses. horses stay the fuck away.
This was
away
more
from
about
me.
Like, you know.
Well, you brought up animals. I'm just telling you what. All the other animals were cool. Horses, hard pass. Hard pass. No, no part of that.
You ready to do a deer review, Joe?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do it. Our world famous deer pairing. Deer review, our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both, and let you know whether you should bring it on the course. Tonight, we have the Dynamic Discs Agent, a two-speed, three-glide, zero-turn, one-fade putter, sent to us by Travis Rabin, and we're pairing that with Noda's Imperial Hop Drop IPA, a 9.2% Imperial IPA, sent to us by Kurt Story. So...
we're starting beer.
Okay. Joe's already taken a sip, and his eyes rolled back in his head, and so I'm guessing that's a good thing.
So I have like a big I get honesty moment with this, and apology to Robin as well. I
was very different direction.
I had expected to get off work.
You said I had a big. I thought I was thinking you were going to talk about something else.
Nope. I had expected to get off work almost 2 hours prior to when I actually got off work today. And my plan was to get home, grab these lovely Noda beers, and put them either in the fridge or freezer, depending on how much time I had. So when I got to Robin's house, they'd be nice and cold. One, because I have to store beers like this at my house because Robin lives on an island. And when he really needs a drink, he'll just drink whatever is in his fridge.
That's not accurate. When I'm not supposed to drink something, I don't drink it.
You've definitely drank things that weren't supposed to be drank before.
Like when?
But there's still one instead of the two. Like, we can split this more than one occasion.
This is a vast over-dramatization of a non-issue.
Anyway.
I'm very
but
responsible.
My biggest apology is that it's
like, while you're explaining
room temperature,
how you fucked up.
It's room temperature instead of nice... and ice cold. And even with that said, this shit is great.
Yeah, it's very good.
This is awesome. So not only is it an Imperial IPA, but it is a double dry hopped Imperial IPA. And it is
super crisp.
Super crisp. It's got like a tiny bit of more like dankness than the super bright, like piney West Coast hop. I get that more. And I always like call it malty because I just don't know what to say other than that. Like dank, I guess dank is really the word. Really clean, crisp, not overly syrupy danky, but like nice, dank, beautiful, beautiful IPA. Like, it's not, and it's not overly, I'm trying to find the IBUs, which I don't see, but it's not super bitter. It definitely has, you know, nice bitter. It's an Imperial freaking 9.2.
It is.
Yeah, 9.2 IPA, but it's super tasty.
Yeah, it's a... very crisp. I agree with
pineapple
like
on
the dank. It's freaking outstanding in terms of the flavor. It certainly doesn't. I wouldn't say it's hiding the boozy flavor. You can certainly taste it right off the bat. You can tell that that is going to be, you know, a strong beer. It's certainly a hazy.
Yeah, it's like a citrusy
and
pineapple.
I think the pine is there and the citrus, I think maybe I would lean more towards grapefruit than any
okay.
of the other
yep.
ones.
Yep.
On the flavor profile. It's fairly balanced overall. I don't think that it's like heavy on the alcohol flavor.
No.
Nice and bitter. It's pretty dang for a 9.2, this is a well-balanced, flavorful Imperial IPA. This is quite good.
We've done it on this show, the Pliny for President, which was a double dry hopped, like Pliny the Elder, which was great, mm-hmm. which is much more West Coast. It's like if you gave...
I think this is absolutely West Coast style. I don't think dank is...
But I mean more in the sense of... not hazy. Like hazy is a New England style that's like made its way over.
Kind of.
But I think like if you hazed up Pliny for President.
Okay.
This is like that beautiful world that you'd be sitting in.
Yeah. But I mean, I wouldn't call that. I don't think this is East Coast.
No, you're totally right. No, I've gotten deeper into it. No, you're totally right.
The dank sort of flavor is certainly.
I was misrepresenting dank with the little bit of heat from the booze, which was still great. I think I just got it on the tongue wrong there. But no, you're right. It's super nice though. Like I took that big old gulp off the bat and was like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah, no, extremely good. Extremely good. I'm impressed and I'm terrified for myself because I'm already feeling a little fuzzy and now I got to finish the rest of this 9.2.
Right. You want to know my...
It's going to get weird.
You want to know my favorite part about the story for me today that I didn't tell you about at all? I have eaten zero food the entire day today.
Wow, I thought you were going to... talk about, you know, something even weirder.
Oh no, my calories today were the 25 calories and a sugar-free rock star.
That is,
and the beers
unhealthy.
I've drank today. Wow. Yeah, it's been a long day. Work was work. It was a thing today, but we're doing a podcast. It's super fun. You want to talk about a disc?
Let's talk about the disc. The Dynamic Discs Agent, and this is a prototype. We've got it in classic plastic. And it is a 2-speed, 3-glide, 0-turn, and 1 fade putter. Again, sent by Travis Rabin. And thanks to Kurt Story for the awesome...
Dude, appears so good.
...Noda Hop Drop Imperial IPA. I got to say, the second I put my hands on this disc, I knew exactly what it was, and I was right.
Yep. 100, yep.
And it's because I threw
and
them.
And you told me, and had you not told me, I still wouldn't have picked it up and would have said the exact same thing to you of what it was.
It's just too... So the Agent is a deep, blunt-nosed putter with
a
flat top.
You're just beat around the bush, or are you just say it?
It's a P2.
It's a P2.
It's very much a P2.
Yep.
It's not quite as deep as a P2. But that they're parsing millimeter, not even millimeters, fractions of millimeters. At that point,
hated it less. I hated it less.
But
that fraction of millimeter, I honestly, as we were walking back up after throwing, I was like, why don't I hate this as much as a P2? And that's what it is.
Yeah. Quite overstable.
Yep.
I don't know whether we should put it in the overstable category for the DGP bag, but I think we should.
Well,
I mean, you had some pretty heavy Annie throws, but
I also had some pretty heavy Heiser throws that like hooked up. Here's the thing. The overstable putter in the bag is a zone.
Yeah.
The stable putter is an envy.
Okay.
Is this closer to an envy or a zone? It's envy for sure.
An envy.
By a lot. Like it's in the same world as an envy. So I would say stable.
This
is
what happens when you give the people a vote.
Yep. Stupid people. I'm just joking. I love you guys. Love you guys. Patreon.com/thediscgolfpodcast. Come hang out with us. No, I think it is stable. It is stable. You throw it with a lot of Annie. It doesn't come back a lot of Annie.
Yeah.
You throw a little bit of Annie. It has a nice long glide, hooks up at the end. Not hard, but hooks up.
If you throw it with any amount of hyzer, you are going to get a hyzer all the way.
Exactly.
There'll be no flip up.
Right. But if you throw a zone, the same worlds, it's a lot more hookup.
Yeah. And then, you know, you throw it flat, you're going to get a decently straight shot and then a nice finish. It is a stable to overstable putter that is very deep, no bead, a blunt nose and a straight bevel on the edge. I mean, it's a near exact P2 clone.
It is. And the world too. So also this is a type of disc that I will bring up. Usually when we talk putters, we don't talk putting because it's all the same. This is a disc that if you're circle's edge or near circle's edge, you do need to give room for fade.
Yeah.
Like I hit on our way on my way back when I threw whatever funsy, I hit like a Circle's Edge putt on the way back coming. I was like, but I put it out right on a little hyzer and let it get in.
But one of the great things about P2s, and that, you know, I used to putt with P2s for a minute along with every other putter in the universe because I just change putters every year.
Yeah, Robin putts profits now.
And I'm thinking about it.
Just joking. No, you're going to throw them. You only got throwers. You're not going to.
All right, fine. You're
but you're
right.
going to throw profits.
But, you know, when you're dealing with windy conditions, a deep putter like that that's overstable can work really well for that. So it has its advantages. I think the biggest advantage in why you see players like Simon and Eagle throwing P2s is because they can handle a ton of power.
Yeah.
Because they are stable to overstable depending on the plastic that you throw. So, you know, we were throwing Sky Gods and things like that. And then also... Yeah.
We threw like $250 worth of discs. You know, maybe
to be fair to me, the Sky God 3 we were throwing, I had thrown when I got it, so it had already lost its value because I didn't realize it was going to be a $300 disc on eBay.
Totally.
When I bought it.
Same the Imperial. I think Imperial Eagle, we had a handful of two, and we were like, whatever. And your boys were like, that's pretty. I want to throw it. And that got thrown and whatever.
Well,
anyway.
I mean, I'm a firm believer in the discs are meant to be thrown. 100%. Like, I don't have any of these discs to invest in. Like, I'm not planning on well, maybe some. But
maybe some. But those are the ones that we don't throw. Like, honestly, if we throw them, we throw them. Like, we've got 16 Firebird or Sexton Firebirds that if I want to throw, I'm going to throw. I mean, they're thrown. They're not unthrown. There are 17s that are unthrown that if I run out of 17s, I'm throwing that shit. I don't care. Yeah, like, it's not second run. Whatever disc that we own that's crazy, if it is thrown in our bag and we need to throw the last one or whatever, it's getting thrown.
Yeah.
Which I like. I love that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it held up the same as all of those. I will say, as a former judge thrower who liked Prime better than Classic, I would also like an agent in Prime more than Classic. Not that I'm going to throw or putt any of them because it's not what I'm into, but the Classic plastic is just a little slick. And I remember that too when I was throwing judges that I got the Prime and I was like, it's a little more gummy. It's a little more rubbery on just like the slickness. But regardless, it's a nice putt. It's something that DD needed. They're smart. They made it happen. It'll make a lot of people happy. I would almost like...
I could see this being very, very popular amongst their top level
pros.
Well,
especially in Kansas. Like everything, I feel like they've made so many, like now that DDO is happening and watching discs that are being thrown and all like the Lucid X or the hybrid plastic, all the stuff that they're doing and the new molds and whatever are all built on wind resistance, but they've never had a putter really that could hang with now the agent.
Yeah.
Like it's always, I threw judges forever and I, so many times I've interjected myself in our Slack group, like talking trilogy when they're like, oh, the judge, you know, is stable to overstable. I'm like, no, it's not. You are lying to yourself and everyone else and the warden and the whatever. There was not, I mean, maybe the slammer, but that's not the same thing. Anyway, this range, right? Or what did you throw for like one of the other ones you threw for a minute? What was in the trilogy challenge?
Shields. That was beaded, but yeah.
Right, but same thing of like they kept. I feel like they've been trying to find this style of stable to overstable putting putter, not a throwing, not an approach putter. And I think they hit it here.
I think they
were trying so hard. Thomas, their like guy who does the molding, I think probably tried forever to be like, what can I do? What crazy thing? Like, what bead can I add? What can I do to like get that same flight? And finally was just like, all right, I will just clone a P2 because I just can't figure it out. And good for him and for them, because that's exactly what it is.
I think it's dead on. I mean, the profiles look the same. It's
not as deep, and I would throw this over P2 in a second.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it. And when they come out with premium plastic ones, you know, in Lucid and whatnot, it's probably going to be even more beefy. So,
oh, yeah.
That'll be good to see.
That'll be fun. But anyways, yeah.
So all right, Joe. I mean, so I'm 100% in on this beer. I don't know that I would necessarily say it's a great course beer because it's 9.2. And
when has that ever stopped us before?
Never. But I'm just saying, like, proceed with caution.
This is if your disc golf partner is the driver.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a course beer.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah, like if I'm driving, you're smashing three of these in the round.
Easily.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
The disc, like, nah, I'd rather throw a pilot.
Yeah.
I
don't like overstable putters anymore.
Ooh.
Just don't.
Yeah.
I very much enjoy
He's a bullet man.
Putting my putter on a little bit of hyzer and just watching it fly straight. And I like that so much more than having to work with the overstability. At least for like
if I want overstable, I want overstable.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't want the in-between. That's kind of where this is. There, this has a spot for sure. This will become a big putter for lots of folks.
I think this is
folks.
An excellent disc.
It is.
I think this should even... we're both going to say no to it, but I think this should really be like more of a in reality, it should be a 3 out of 4 type thing because it's a great
disc.
And
it's so new, and that's my only worry, like when you talk about the listener bags, it's so brand new that I don't think anyone actually knows it enough to... And now that's a big actual... worry about the listener bag is we like to review new things, and that doesn't really work for listener bag.
So this thing's going up against the Envy.
Yeah.
In the listener bag. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we want to do a vote on where it fits and then a vote on top.
How many people have actually thrown it?
That's my point, which is a bummer because that kind of skews that a ton. So maybe quarterly we start it fresh ish. I don't know. Anyway,
everything's
good disc.
Broken.
It is. Good disc. The beer's amazing. It's a course beer. I'll drink it. I think 3 out of 4 makes sense, even in the sense that
each of us are giving it a 0.5.
Yeah, and Didi, they did what needed to get done. This was something that had to be a part of their lineup that, like I said, I feel like they've been, or even Trilogy in general, has been looking for something like this, and I think they finally really nailed it. So 3 out of 4. I think this could be Paul Macbeth or Tatar as like always just about there, but not every time.
Well, it's got to be Paul Macbeth in this recent thing because...
Well, yeah, but I mean in the sense of like Tatar has been top 3 nonstop, but only 1 win now. And Paul's had a few. Anyway, it's a Tatar-Macbeth split. Boom.
Yeah, I think in this case we gotta
Macbeth. All right,
make it Macbeth. I think that's the fairer comparison, because he was the one that most recently came up so short. So I don't know. But in any case, that's all we got for you on this episode of the Disc Golf Podcast. Please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/thediscgolfpodcast. I should also mention, Joe's an asshole. She won the memorial. So
did Paul.
So I'm just saying, like, she won another tournament, but in any case,
that's true. I also stood up to walk away and go to the restroom, and there was lots of like clatter and loud things happening outside your house. And I stepped back in, cause Robin lives in the wilderness and I'm afraid of animals right now. So I'm going to go pee in a second, but I'm back on mic.
All right. Well, in any case, patreon.com/thediscgolfpodcast. We do a pre-show recording before every single episode. So if you're itching for more DGP content, please check it out. Again, patreon.com/thediscgolfpodcast. Please review us on your favorite podcast app. We love getting those 5 stars and seeing your reviews, and it helps other people find the podcast. So thank you so much to those of you that have done that already, and I hope others continue to do so. And lastly, join our Slack group. You can find it on our website, throwstuffatstuff.com. There's a link in the main navigation, and you know, it's the best disc golf community ever. I love it. They're all the time. We'll welcome you when you get there. Again, throw stuff at stuff.com, join Slack, and yeah, come hang out with us. All right. That's all we got for you. Get out there this weekend and throw stuff at stuff.
This is a song for the aceless. But those with aces, listen closely. You don't always have to huck it hard. In fact, sometimes that's not right to do. Sometimes you got to lay it up and fucking outrun an ace or two. Sometimes you got to ease if you wanna put the D's in the B's. Sometimes you got to say, hey, I'm gonna throw it softly. I'm gonna huck it gently. I'm gonna flick it smoothly. I'm gonna toss it so sweetly. And then you say, hey, I hit some metal. And then you say, wait a minute, Robin, I think I'm starting to get it now. Could you feel my throw for me? That's fucking teamwork. What's your favorite disc? That's cool with me. It's not a trespass, but I guess it works for you. What's your favorite beer? The only answer is an IPA. So let's go to the bar. And then I'm gonna flick it so sweetly. And then I'll fucking huck it softly. And then I'll fucking throw it perfectly. But then I'm gonna huck it.